Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland International University. And Doc, we are right in the middle of a series that we're calling The Divine Design for Marriage. And we're really talking about how to do marriage by the book. And you began by pointing out to us that marriage by design has a God-given purpose or God-given function that most of us miss. And that function is really to display something about God, to give an accurate picture of what God is like relationally in terms of the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and the harmony that's there, and the mutual working together, and the assuming of roles within the Trinity. And all of that is really to be reflected in our marriages. And we spent a broadcast really talking about how God, in order to accomplish that, had given man a prepared place in which to live, and he had instructed that man to protect and to provide in that place, just like we do in our marriages. And we ended our broadcast noting that God had given to Adam responsibility, and within that responsibility, it also had given to him restraint, a solitary restraint that was designed to protect and enhance his relationship to Eve, who was about to be created. And that brings us really up into the third and main thing that we've been getting to, and that is the relationship that God gave to Adam. So we have responsibility, restriction, and we're jumping into relationship now.
Yeah, why don't you read verse 18 through verse 25, because that will be the foundation for the next two broadcasts that we do. And this is really continuing the theology of marriage. Right. Well, we talked about the divine plan of marriage, which is really the theology of marriage.
Yeah, we're not just talking about a few things to fix your marriage or, you know, six R's to help you be a better communicator. All of those things are good, but you're really taking us back to the root of it.
The root of it is God's plan and our relationship to God and our desire to obey God's plan completely.
Well, let me read that passage, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and it goes like this. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
Now, what do we see here in this whole structure, in this whole construction? We find now God bringing into the life of Adam a relationship. The foundation was laid, how to be responsible and how to live under restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Both are very crucial for our relationship to work. I was in Denver, Colorado, sitting at a restaurant counter, reading my Bible, waiting for a pastor to pick me up. A man walked up to me in a suit, very distinguished-looking guy. He said, "Is that a Bible you're reading?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well," he said, "I just went through a heartbreaking divorce."
Mm.
This was a total stranger. He worked computers for the government there. And he said, "When I got married, I never dreamed that I would be coming to a restaurant alone to eat supper." And he said, "Who will help us?" Almost pleadingly. And I said, "Well, sir, I don't know you. I don't know your circumstance. But whenever a relationship breaks, I know one of two parties or both parties have been irresponsible and somewhere a restraint has been cast off, because God designed this for us to be responsible and to be restricted. So somewhere along the line, a restriction was ignored and a responsibility was put aside, because God's plan for these relationships is that these are the foundations for how relationships work, and God structured that right from the beginning. And then we carried on a little bit further, but obviously I couldn't counsel him in that context, except to say that somewhere there was a putting aside of the basics that God had built right within that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in verse 18 that God said it was not good. What was the first thing on record in the Bible is not good?
For man to be by himself.
For man to be alone. And he said, I will make him an helpmeet. What is a helpmeet? It's one who completes.
Mm.
Not one who competes, but it's one who completes. And so that helpmeet is one who will complete man. Man was incomplete. He was created. He had his creation. He had his habitation. But he had not yet had that completion of the relationship.
You know, when you're talking about God getting Adam ready for this, in other words, God could have given him Eve at the very beginning, but he didn't. It's interesting, and I'm curious as to what your thinking is on this, Doc, but, you know, you talk about the relationship being based on responsibility and restraint, and God had to teach Adam that before he gave him a relationship.
Right, because man was created to be the leader, and it's significant to me that the serpent went to the one who was under the one who was created to be the leader to put the question mark in her mind first, for her to go and convince her leader so that he could be convinced to disobey his leader, who was God who gave the original instruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a lesson for us that we as men need to be walking in that basic responsibility and under those restraints. And we see that God put Adam there first.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is that really when you think about the home, part of the function of mom and dad working together in training up their children is to teach them responsibility and restraint, because it's so essential in terms of the components for a healthy relationship down the road.
Right. Anytime you leave a part out of any of these structures, something unravels. And it doesn't matter what party within that relationship is in that violation. It pressures mm-hmm. that relationship. Along with this, there's a lot of debate today in 2009 about wives submitting.
Mm-hmm.
We think, no, that's a cultural thing. That was not from the beginning. And that's not true under grace. It's important for us to realize that the command for a wife to be under submission was creational, not cultural or consequential.
Hmm.
In fact, let's look at the priority of Eve's creation. So Eve is about to come into
the picture. Yeah.
Into the picture. Now, let's look at the priority. Eve was made following man, was made from man, was made for man. That's New Testament. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13.
Okay.
Because this is now Paul discussing this aspect of a marriage relationship. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. And if you're taking notes, it would be good for you to jot these references.
Well, and this comes right in a chapter where Paul is in the middle of telling Timothy about a woman's role in the body of Christ in terms of corporate instruction. And he just made a comment that if we're not careful, even in a good-intentioned way, she can usurp authority over men, and that's not a good thing. And he gives this as a reason: for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Okay, so she was made following mm-hmm. Adam. Okay, that was very clear. Verse 13, Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we see the references there in verse 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have authority on her head or over her head because of angels.
Now, how significant that Paul reaffirms that both in Timothy and in 1 Corinthians, that submission was creational,
mm-hmm.
not cultural mm-hmm. or consequential.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say, yeah, okay, that's a cultural thing today. No, it was God's original intent. So we see in 1 Timothy 2:13, Eve was made following Adam. 1 Corinthians 11:8, she was made from Adam. 1 Corinthians 11:9, she was made for Adam. Why? Because Adam was not complete without her.
And that's exactly what, by the way, we find recorded in how God did it back in Genesis 2.
Right. And now, let's follow through the introduction of woman into man's life. We already established he was alone and it was not good. He
right.
was not complete. Now, let's read again verse 19 and 20. For out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, brought them unto Adam. So Adam is given the assignment now to name all these animals. I mean, just think what intelligence was there. I mean, Adam had some intelligence. And Adam gave names to all cattle, fowls of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Mm-hmm. Everything in nature now had its mate.
Except him.
Except him. And then God said, now it's my time to move Adam on your part. And we find the dignity of the woman described in this. And what dignity woman has, right from the fact how she was constructed by God, how she completed man, and how man celebrated. Three keys here. Her construction reflected her dignity. Her completion of mankind described her dignity. And then how Adam celebrated when he saw her described her dignity.
And I think that's an important thing, Doc, because whenever we start talking about submission, I think it's very easy for people to get the idea that woman is in this role because somehow she's weaker or less valuable or less intelligent than the man. And sometimes the men actually contribute to that idea, but you're actually saying quite the opposite thing, that she's extremely dignified in every way. And so whatever this submission idea is, it's not because of some flaw in the woman.
Right. If she is not dignified, then neither is God the Son. Because when you look at the structure of the Trinity, you had ontological Trinity, which is essence, and you had economical Trinity, which is function. And ontology is a study of essence. Economy is a study of function. Now, we will probably have to get into the next broadcast describing this in detail, but this should be such a settling for the woman when her dignity is brought up. She is as dignified in her relationship as God the Son is dignified in his role as the Son of God becoming our Redeemer.
In other words, she's supposed to do for her husband what Christ does to his Father.
Right. It's a very dignified role, and there's nothing belittling, there's nothing demeaning about it. Creational, not consequential. And if we understand that, the woman will see what a beautiful dignity I have.
Well, Doc, I'm looking forward to the next broadcast as we continue to discuss this, where we're trying to learn how to do our marriages by the book. I hope that these broadcasts are a blessing. You can download them at www.thewordforlife.org. And until the next time we're together, may the Lord bless you.